Egypt. On that very day, they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They had journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord called him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on the eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the people. Indeed, the whole world is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites." So Moses came, summoned the elders of the people, and set before them all these words the people had commanded him. The people all answered as one, "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Moses reported these words of the people to the Lord. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, as well as the thick cloud on the mountain and a blast of a trumpet so loud that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. They took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in the smoke because the Lord had descended upon it in fire. The smoke went up like the smoke of a kiln, which whole the mountain shook violently. Now 20 verses 1 to 3. Then God spoke all these words. "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other God before me."
He's a good, good father, because that's who he is. Okay, down the hallway, and open the door. Oh, comes in this way. Oh, hey! Shalom, people! It is so good to see you again. Nice to see you. Nice to be back in this place where you gather together to worship God. Yeah, and I see many familiar faces out there. And I see some new faces too I don't recognize. Well, in that case, let me introduce myself. My name is Moses. Nice to meet you. You probably have heard of me before. You know, if you've been reading these holy scriptures here, you know that God told me many years ago to write down the many incredible things that God did to people like myself. And he wrote it down in there for you to read about. I know you call that the holy scriptures. Sometimes you call it the Bible. But I know that at Olivet Kids, they call it the Big God Story. Do you know why they call it the Big God Story? It's one big God story about God from beginning to end. Every little story in Big God Story reveals a little bit more about God, about who he is, what he is like, and what he has done through his people. Yeah. Let me ask you, do you remember last year when I was here? Do you remember the part in the Big God Story that I shared with you? Okay, I shared many things, so I'll give you a hint. It was the part, remember over here? Hello? Okay, the part where God called me from burning bush. You remember that part? Yeah, you remember. And do you remember God revealed to me a special name? I will tell you. I am who I am. You remember that? Shake heads if you do. Tell me, please. Thank you. Okay, and then I explained to you a little more detail about what I am who I am meant. It meant the one and only true God, right? God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Yeah? The uncreated creator. In fact, I heard you singing earlier. The maker. Yeah. He made everything that ever was, everything that is, and everything that ever will be. Yeah. I could go on and on about this I am who I am God, but we don't have time. It would be a good exercise to do one day, though. But anyways, I want to... Okay, so after that, reveal in burning bush, then God told me to go back to Egypt, get my brother Aaron, and go to Israelite leaders and tell them that God had seen their suffering at hands of Egyptians. You remember this? And we told he was concerned about them. And Aaron and I told Israelite leaders this. Do you remember what they did? I will tell you. Okay, fine. They believed God, this God, and then they bowed down and they worshipped him. Yeah, that's pretty much where we left off last year. And now this year again, I want to carry on from that place. But first, I would like to invite up the children, if you would like to come closer, and you may sit in the first two rows if you like. Get a closer look at you. You come forward. Yeah. I understand that at Olivet Kids, you guys in September each year, you start at the beginning of Big God Story in the first book. Do you guys know what that's called, I hope? Anybody? Adults can answer? First book of Bible? Genesis? Good. And they go through the year to end of year in August. They end up in last book of Bible, which is called? Revelation. Good. And right now, I heard that you are in second book of Bible, which is called? Exodus. Good job. I heard that you are learning. You may sit in front row too. Come sit in front row. This is good. Your mom can sit with you if you want her to. That's fine too. Yeah. It's good. Okay. So I heard that you children are still learning about the Israelite people in Egypt. And that 3 weeks ago, your lesson pretty much left off where Aaron and I left off. But then God also told my brother Aaron and I to go now this time to Pharaoh. And we went to Pharaoh and we had a message for Pharaoh from God to let my people go. Let his people go, not my people, but they are the same people anyways. To let my people go. And of course, Pharaoh said, no, of course he did, of course. So then God, he sent plagues, those nasty things, you remember? And God did this for a reason. He did this to show that he had power over all those things that the Egyptians worshipped. God had power over everything. And the lesson point, children, I hope you remember this. The lesson point was God is... Anybody know what that means?
Lord,
I knew you knew that. I've seen you. God is Lord. That is sign language for Lord, in case you want to know that. Yeah. And by the way, did you know God is still Lord today? Mm-hmm. He has power over everything today still. Then I heard that 2 weeks ago, you guys learned a little bit more about that last plague, number 10. That was the worst one, I tell you. And God had asked Israelite people to take a lamb, sacrifice the lamb, and paint its blood on the doorpost, the frames of their houses. And that night, God would send killing angel. But the killing angel would pass over their homes, right? And they would not be harmed. But it would go into the homes of Egyptian people. And you know that it killed the firstborn from every single family, poor and rich. And it killed Pharaoh's son, the prince. Yeah. And then God took and led the Israelite people away from Egyptians to the Red Sea. He parted the sea. Israelites go through. Pharaoh changed his mind. He follows. The sea collapses on the Egyptian people. But God's people, Israelites, are safe on the other side. And God did this to show you that he has power to release people from bondage. And I wonder if you remember this part. And God gives, do you remember this part? He gives new life. And God still does that today, you know. He still rescues people out of bondage. And He offers them new life. Okay, now, do you remember what you did last Sunday, what you learned about? Tell me. Please. Anything? Well, lucky for you, I know what you did last Sunday. I know that this story, Big God story, carried on other side of Red Sea, right? Israelites were on other side of Red Sea. And God, when they ran out of the food and stuff they brought, God gave them something to drink. You remember? He took a bitter water, changed it into a sweet. And then they grumbled and complained because they were hungry. So God brought what? Anybody can answer this, by the way. Manna from heaven, rained down from heaven. And also something else, bit of protein. Yeah, quail. He brought quail. And He gave them more food. Yeah. Oh, and there was one more special thing He did we sometimes forget about. I'll give you a clue. Something to do with number 7. Okay, Sabbath. He introduced the idea of Sabbath, remember? That they would gather enough manna on 6th day for 2 days, and they would keep it for Sabbath. Then they would use that day to rest, to worship the God. Okay, so I noticed, by the way, when I was thinking about what I was going to tell you, that God did these amazing miracles. They all begin with letter P. He did the plagues. Then He did the Passover. Then He did the parting. Oh, wait a second. I forgot to tell you this special word, what He just did on the last day. The provision. Okay? That's from last week. Last week we learned that God knows what you need and He takes care of you. God is provider. And by the way, God still does that today. He knows what you need. He takes care of you. He is provider. Okay? You got that? So now I want to tell you and carry on from that point, tell you some more of Big God's story. But also I have another question. Sorry, I have lots of questions. I want to engage you. Does anybody know how many years the Israelite people lived in Egypt for? Timothy? 40 years. 40? More? Anybody? 400? And a little bit more. The Bible, it is recorded in the Bible. 430 years they lived among the Egyptian people. Now, they weren't slaves the whole time. At the beginning of time, things were actually pretty good for them. But eventually, Israelite people were forced to be slaves. They were always being told what to do. They had no freedom to do what they wanted. They were slaving away 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Mm-hmm. And because of this, even though they were God's chosen people at that point, even though they were, they kind of forgot how to live as God's chosen people. You know, you get it? Mm-hmm. Well, so God was going to do something about that. So that is why He did those 4P things, right? He did plagues, Passover, parting, and provision. So now I carry on from there. So now, Israelites are on the other side of Red Sea. And God led them. And 3 months later, He led them to a place called the Sinai Desert. Okay, you probably heard of that. It was right on the foot, the mountain, Mount Sinai. It was close to the Mount Sinai. And they camped there. Yeah. They camped there. Okay. And then God called me again. He called me this time to the mountain. And, by the way, I want to read this part. So hang on a second. Get the Big God story over here. Okay, this one is a really big one. Okie doke. Let's put it here. A little problem. I can't see very well. Excuse me, I borrow these. Okay. No, but they are now, and I thank God for that. Okay. So, I am in Exodus, chapter 19, verse 4. And when I was back there, I heard a young man over there was reading this part, but I'm going to read it again. This is God speaking. He says, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings." That is figure of speech, by the way. "And brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. These are the words you shall speak to the Israelites." Yeah. So, wow. God wanted to make us his treasured possession. That is pretty special, do you think? Yeah. But to be honest, to tell you the truth, we Israelites were not very special people at all. There's nothing particularly special about us. But God wanted to make us special. Yeah. How do you think he was going to do that? Well, I read in there a special word, covenant, right? God wanted to make a covenant with us. He wanted to show us how to live as his people. And if we did that, then we would become his treasured possession, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation set apart. Yeah. Why do you think God wanted to do this, by the way? Any reason? Oh, you have idea? Tell me, please. Oh, that is good reason. God loves us. That is true. And he wanted to bless us. But God also wanted to do another thing. God wanted to, and he could do, and he is doing a special thing. God could actually bring glory to himself through us, not very special people. If we obeyed his words and followed his ways, God could bring glory to himself by showing us how to live. And if we followed that. Okay, so then what? So then, yeah, so God told me those words. I was over there on the mountain. I went back to the people and I told them everything that God had said. And the people said, "Yes, we will do what God wants." So I went back to God. I said, "The people will do what you want." He said, "Good. Go tell them to get ready and consecrate themselves. I'm coming back in 3 days." So I went back to the people. I said, "You need to consecrate yourselves. Make yourselves holy and clean." And they literally had to wash their clothes, clean themselves, clean their heart, their mind, and prepare. So then, on the third day, God showed up in a big way. There was thunder and there was lightning, and God appeared in a big cloud over the mountain. And a loud blast of a trumpet. I tell you, it was terrifying. How would you feel? Pretty scared, I bet. I was scared, I tell you. But by the way, did you know that following the will of God is sometimes scary? I heard you heard that. But, by the way, don't forget that God is always with you. He will help you follow his will. And God always blesses you when you follow his will. Okay, so God make a big loud. He told me to bring people closer. I led the people closer to the foot of the mountain. But don't touch the mountain or you will die. That's what he said. They didn't touch. And then God asked me to come up the mountain. That's what happened. And by the way, I want to show you something I found. Have you heard of Google? I was Googling and I found something. And these guys are going to show you something that I found. They're going to put it up there. Hang on.
Moses, this is the Lord thy God. Lord, I shall give these laws unto thy people. Hear me, oh, hear me, oh, pay heed. The Lord Jehovah, has given unto you these 15.
Tell you. Okay, okay, funny, funny. Okay. I showed this to you for a couple of reasons, okay? Number one, don't believe everything you see. Okay? And number two, again, it's a good thing that God had us write things down so we remember exactly what happened. Okay, so there were some true things in there. Yes, God called me up the mountain. Yes, God gave me the commandments carved out in rock by the finger of God, even. But how many did he give me?
15.
I had a feeling you would say that, I tell you. Okay, you need to erase that from your mind. God gave me 10 commandments. Okay. So, these 10 commandments, they are God's laws and his instructions to his chosen people on how to live. Okay? Now, don't think about these rules. Don't think about these commandments as rules about don't do this and don't do that. No. They are not to be thought of that way. These rules, these laws, they were guidance to us, right? Remember, we had forgotten how to live. And remember, we were talking about this earlier, that God knows what we need, and he cares about us, and he provides for us. He didn't leave us to figure out how to live all by ourselves, right? The law was a gift. We received that law as a gift. You know, it showed us how to live. God had to teach us, again, how to live among other people. Remember, we had been slaves. We had been treated. Are you paying attention, by the way? This is important. We had been slaves for many years. We forgot how to live. We had been mistreated ourselves. What if we were tempted to do that to others? So God showed us how to live. And it was a gift. Now, if you don't believe me that it's good to be shown how to live, imagine if there were no rules on how to live in life. How do you think that would go? Everybody just did whatever they wanted anytime. Maybe they do good things and kind. Maybe they do bad things. That would not be good, would it? Take an example of maybe something simpler like is sports. Some of you guys play sports, I bet. You play soccer or hockey or something. What if there were no rules in that? Eh? How would that go? Maybe you'll think it's funny at the beginning, but then it might get very frustrated and very confusing. Somebody is going to get hurt sooner or later, right? It'd be total chaos. And what about even something simple as maybe at school or at home with your friends, maybe somebody is mean to you and rude to you. You might be tempted to be mean and rude back to them. But God shows us a better way, right? Okay, so you may wonder, do we still have to follow 10 commandments today? That is a good question. What do you think? Let me ask you. Do you want to be God's treasured possession? Do you want to be together a kingdom of priests and a holy nation set apart? Do you want to bring glory to God as they show you, as they see how you live? Do you? And what about when God came back as Jesus, right? Jesus had a lot to say about Ten Commandments, didn't he? He expanded upon them and what it really meant. Remember, he said something about thou shalt not kill and what that meant, even if you have these kind of nasty thoughts in your mind. It's just as bad as actually killing someone. And what about when Jesus' disciples asked Jesus himself? They said, what is greatest commandment in the law? Anybody know what the answer was, what Jesus said? You?
Love the Lord your God.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Yeah. And he added in second one, he said, and love your neighbor as yourself. He said that all the law is summed up in those two commandments. Yeah. Well, God shows us how to live, doesn't he? Now. Oh, I was also thinking, you know, by the way, you guys are even more blessed than Israelites because you guys have special helper that they never had to help you obey God's laws. You know who that is? Holy Spirit. Yeah, you guys are blessed. Okay. Well, I actually think that we need to wrap this up here because I could go on and on. This is a big book, okay? So, but before I go, I want to make sure, I want to check in with you. Make sure you got, I had two main points today. Do you know what the first one was? God shows us how
to live.
God shows us how to live. Okay? And it is a gift. That's not my second point. That's still part of the first point. God shows us how to live. And it is a gift. And the second point, I'm not sure if I made myself clear, but you, young lady, I think you said it earlier, that God, when I said, why do you think God wanted to do this? You said, because God loves us. That is my other main point I want to make. God loves us more than you could ever imagine, right? There is nothing you can do to make him love you more. There is nothing you can do to make him love you less. You don't earn it, and you don't deserve it. Sorry to say. It's the truth. God just loves you because that's who he is. You guys were just singing before too, the good, good Father, right? It's who he is, and we are loved by him. Yeah. So even though God is showing us how to live is a gift, God's love for us is even a better gift. There is no greater gift than God's great love. I want to end on that. I want you to think about that. But, you know, I would like to invite the children up here to sing with me. You know that song, No Greater Gift Than God's Great Love? We are going to sing that. And thank him, and you are all going to sing up. And remember to do the actions too, and then the children can see you, and it's all good. So come.